Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi David Cohn, Administrative Rabbinic Coordinator with the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Welcome back, Rabbi Cohn.
Thank you.
Today, I'd like to discuss the topic of vinegar with you. I know there are various types of vinegar. There's a white distilled vinegar, there's wine vinegar, apple cider vinegar. When you go into a store, you see different variations. First, walk us through, before we get into the kashrus concerns, walk us through how vinegar is made so that we understand how that may apply to some of the rules and halachas that we should know about.
Okay. So the way you make vinegar is, it's a two-step process, and it starts with something that has a sugar to it, and that sugar gets fermented into alcohol. So the simplest case we know of is making wine. You take the sugar and grape juice, and it ferments, and you add yeast to it, it ferments into wine. So now it's alcoholic, so to speak, alcoholic grape juice. That's the sugar turned into alcohol. That's step one. Step two is we now take this thing which has alcohol in it, and we ferment it a second time in a little bit of a different way, and that alcohol turns into vinegar. Okay? Mm-hmm. It technically turns into acetic acid. And it turns in, and then we call that what it turned into vinegar. So that's the two steps to make any kind of vinegar that there is. So let's start right there with the wine vinegar itself.
Okay.
That's the simplest one. That's the traditional way you made vinegar. And there, the kashrus concern is very straightforward. And that is wine that was touched or moved by someone who was not Jewish is considered stam yayin. It's not kosher. So if you have wine vinegar or balsamic vinegar, which is a type of wine vinegar, then it needs hashgacha, because if it doesn't have hashgacha, then it would be stam yayin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, there's an interesting little quirk about that, and that is that if you have wine which was not kosher and you turn it into vinegar, the vinegar is not kosher.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have wine which is kosher and it turns into vinegar, once it's vinegar, it can't become stam yayin anymore.
Uh-huh.
So if it was stam yayin beforehand, it stays usher even though it turns into vinegar. But once it became vinegar, if you have wine vinegar in your house, you have no problems with someone touching it. It can't become usher anymore.
That's simply what you're saying, because the gzera of stam yayin
is on wine,
not on vinegar, even though it's a derivative of the wine.
Correct. So if it started off usher, it doesn't become mutter when it becomes vinegar.
Right.
But if it was vinegar, if it was kosher when it became vinegar, it stays kosher, no problem. Okay. So that's the base of how you make vinegar, and the most obvious problem, which is wine vinegar or other names of it like balsamic. Now, there are other vinegars, the other ways to make vinegar. The two most common ones that come from there are apple cider vinegar and malt vinegar. And those are, instead of making it from grape juice, you make them apple cider starts with apple juice.
Okay.
So you take apple juice, you turn it into like an apple wine, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and then again into vinegar. And malt vinegar is the same idea. You take barley, you ferment that into barley wine, like beer.
Beer, right.
Like beer. And then you ferment it again, and now you have malt vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're the same idea. The vinegar, so to speak, part of it is the same, but it has a little different taste to it. Because one started with wine, one started with apples, and one started with malt. Okay, so for those, we don't have the stam yayin concern per se. Not in itself, it's not made from wine, but the processing that goes on in the factory is done all on the same equipment. Okay, factories that make one tend to make all these types of vinegar. They don't
mm-hmm.
just make one kind of vinegar. So almost everybody who makes vinegar also makes wine vinegar, and therefore we have concerns of kalim being shared from one to the other one.
Now, the issue with shearing kalim, is that because the machinery reaches an adequate temperature?
Sometimes
it's produced cold.
Sometimes it's a temperature issue. That's not the most common issue, but it actually brings up another unusual piece about vinegar, and that is that usually when something is cold, without any heat, we can't get time transferred from one thing to another. There is one way that time can transfer without heat, and that's if it sits for a long time in a container with cover. Usually it takes 24 hours. Usually, as a rule, cover is only an issue l'chatchila, but the evidence is not an issue because it takes 24 hours for the taste to come out. By the time the 24 hours passes, the taste that came out is already ain't a binyamari. It has it's been sitting for 24 hours, so we sort of get off the hook because by the time
right.
it comes out, it's already ain't a binyamari. Well, vinegar is a davar charif and has special rules. Many people are familiar that like onions have special rules because they're charif, they're sharp, they have a sharp kind of a taste to them. And therefore, even if it's ain't a binyamari, it still makes a treif. So therefore, if you store it in this tank wine vinegar today, and 3 days from now, you store in it malt vinegar, that malt vinegar would be not kosher.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time that would come out of it would make it not kosher.
So and again, even if it didn't reach an adequate cooking temperature.
Even without hot temperature, correct.
Right.
Correct. There's not, there isn't, there are, I'm not saying there are no places where heat, but the heat is not the main concern in a vinegar plant. There is, sometimes there'll be pasteurization, but that's not the main concern. Okay, now, then we now move to another kind of vinegar, which is, you could say, a more modern invention, which is white distilled vinegar, which for many people, that's the only vinegar they ever see. And it's clear, like you see right through it. It's not like apple cider vinegar that has a color to it or wine vinegar. And white distilled vinegar is made with anything that has sugar or starch to it. So corn, rice, potatoes, wheat, apples, it makes a difference. You can start with anything you want to. But what you do is you turn it into like a wine type product and then you distill it. And that's a process of concentrating the alcohol and you distill it till it's 95% alcohol. And the idea here is it becomes what we call grain neutral spirits. These are spirits that means alcohol with no, it's grain neutral, means you can't tell what it came from because the only thing that's here is alcohol. All the other taste that would have carried over is gone.
It's gone.
We've distilled it out. So it's neutral taste-wise except for the alcohol that's in it. And then we use that alcohol to create vinegar. So when we end up with the white distilled vinegar has no carryover from the taste of it. Which means that's why you could start with anything you want to. You can't, if you want to make apple cider vinegar, you want a certain taste from the apples. Right. But you white distilled, you say, I can use anything I want to start this thing off. So you can use anything. Okay. Now, that means is there aren't much kashrus concerns from the base that you started with. Because all those things you could start with, not all of them, but just about all of them, don't have any kashrus
issue. Don't have a kashrus issue.
Right, not much of
whether
a
kashrus. Whether it's vegetables or whether it's grain, you're
right.
typically
you
okay.
potatoes or wheat. It makes a difference. There are potential issues. You could have made it from wine. You could have made it from milk. Both of those, they're not very common in the United States.
Right.
In the United States, why would somebody take their milk and turn it into this? In other countries, they would. But in America, that's not a common thing to happen.
Especially because milk and other items are probably more expensive.
Of course, right. Why would I waste
corn, let's say.
Right. I could have whatever I want to. Now, but there still are kashrus concerns. And one is the same kaolin issues. The same
sheared
equipment with those things.
Okay.
Also, when you make white distilled vinegar, when you distill that everything, you need to add some things back in to make this the second fermentation work. Nutrients have to be added in. You boil that too much out of this thing. There's not enough left to there. And then, it's too complicated for today, but there's a really unusual thing, which is when you concentrate it to 95%, you then have to water it down in order to make it suitable to turn into vinegar. You can't do the fermentation at 95%. And the water might be coming from the wine side of the factory. It's all complicated.
Is that right?
Yeah, really? So it's a really unusual situation where the water could be treif. The base could be kosher. Everyone's looking at the alcohol, but it could be actually that the water
that's diluting the vinegar.
Diluting the alcohol before it turned into vinegar, that could be coming from the other side of the factory where the wine comes. Exactly how too complicated for today, but yes, it can happen. It does happen.
Which basically is what you're saying is that even white distilled vinegar, which you're saying typically will be derived from a kosher source, you still need to have a reliable hashkacha. That's the bottom line. You can't buy vinegar off the shelf without hashkacha.
That's correct. First of all, because of the kaolin, and also the other ingredients, and even in a far-fetched case, could be even the water also could be brought.
Okay. Right.
So basically, to sum that part up, all the vinegars need hashkacha, some in more serious ways than others. Like the wine vinegar is the most obvious, but even other ones need hashkacha also. Now, related to all that is the Pesach issue.
Right, I was going to say.
I see you're about to ask that question.
I was basically going to say that if you're telling me that the majority of vinegars, let's say in the United States, are made from corn, let's say, which is kidneyous, but it's not chametz.
Right.
So then when it comes to Pesach time and I'm clearing out my fridge, I don't really have to throw out any of the condiments that contain vinegar, like ketchup, mustard, and pickles, and so on, considering the fact that I could assume that vinegar is typically not grain-derived, because grain is more expensive than corn. So can I assume that it's made from corn?
So the answer is, in the United States, like you said, the vast majority is made from corn, which is kidneyous, so I can eat it. There is a possibility it's made from chametz. I believe that it's correct that a person, therefore, does not need to get rid of it. They should not eat it, and they do not need to get rid of it, nor to sell it. But I'm not saying that maybe a person is their own rav there, Shaila. Could be another rabbi would say there is a possibility that it could be that it's chametz. It is possible. Could be that the yeast has chametz also. Again, all these are small possibilities. Personally, I think that's correct, that you could keep it over Pesach. But a person could ask their own child to ask that question.
Right.
But you're correct that in the United States, we assume it's typically made from corn. In other parts of the world, in Europe, it's probably made from wheat.
And that's because
wheat is cheaper over there. Over there, corn, they need the corn to make things that need specifically corn. When they need anything, so to speak, they'll use wheat. But in the United States, when we use our wheat to make cookies and pizza and pretzels and things that need wheat to them, and we save the corn, and the corn is for anything. We have
loads of it. That's a fascinating thing. You really have to have your finger on the pulse of, from country to country, what is more valuable, you know, just to be able to make that assumption as to what the vinegar may be derived from.
Correct. But like you said, and then all the condiments that are potential issues year-round and Pesach-wise flow from the vinegar. The vinegar tends to be the most sensitive ingredient. I mean, I can't tell you for everything, but for those kind of condiments, the vinegar tends to be the most sensitive ingredients of all. Right. And that's why they need Hashgacha.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure.